Welcome to the Consultants Council podcast, a place for consulting industry guidance and best practice advisory. Whether you're working to grow in your consulting career, you're managing and developing a consulting firm, you're working with consultants, or you're just interested in business and high performance advice, we've got recommendations and education for you. I'm Kelsey Krevling, founder and CEO of Kelsey Consulting, a firm focused on building high-performing organizations, teams, and individuals through a variety of ventures, including the Consultants Council. I've spent my career at the intersection of technology and management consulting, working with organizations across the country to help solve their toughest challenges, while also supporting the growth and development of multiple consulting firms, helping them improve their long-term performance trajectory. In addition, I'm an entrepreneur across a few different industries, and I serve as a startup investor and advisor, promoting the ideas of other entrepreneurs as they work to gain traction in their industries. With so many people gearing up to launch their own businesses and establish their own consulting practices, I want to make available the advice and lessons I've learned along the way. This podcast is made possible by Kelsey Consulting, with media support by Class Act Media. For more information, check out our site at theconsultantscouncil.com. and kelsey.consulting. That's kelsey.consulting. And now, stay tuned for this episode's counseling, because the consulting world is full of nuances. And the answer is always, it depends. What's possible? Do more. Hey y'all, and welcome to the Consultants Council. I'm Kelsey Krevling, and I am thrilled for today's episode. It's a super special one because I am joined by Tamara Shields. Now, Tamara and I have actually known each other 18 years now, my gosh, since I was a senior in high school, actually. I think she was a freshman in college, and we ended up becoming sorority sisters, and we've just stayed dear friends ever since. But as a result of that friendship, we also spent a tremendous amount of time talking about our careers and talking about what we're working on and talking about how the work that we're doing fuels our lives and vice versa. So I am super excited to have her joining for the Consultants Council podcast today to share her advice and lessons learned and experiences along the way in her career within the finance industry. So Tamara is the VP of Finance for Clear Fork Midstream, and she's also spent a tremendous amount of time, you know, in consulting, working with consultants, getting to advise a number of different organizations through their growth, whether that be working in finance, accounting, treasury. She's really seen the full gamut. It's really interesting that, you know, a lot of people have very narrow focused financial exposure and experience, where she's really gotten to see the full topography. So excited for today's episode. It's a really great one, not only from a consulting perspective, from a finance perspective, but also for anyone listening who is a parent. She is very candid about her experiences juggling two young little ones who are adorable. So tune in, really thrilled for you to listen to today's episode. Hey there, I'm Kelsey Krevling with the Consultants Council, and we have a super special episode for you today. I'm here with a dear friend of 18 years now, Tamara Shields. So it is after 5 p.m. on a Friday. We are drinking champagne, and we are just excited to chat about consulting and transitions into operations and working in industry, and just some really great life and career lessons along the way. So cheers to friendship, cheers to our careers, cheers to it being the weekend, and let's dig in. All right, so Tamara, welcome. Glad to have you.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be a part of this.
I know, we spent a lot of time together as friends, but not a lot of time actually working together. So kind of nice to have you here and getting to share your advice for others. So Tamara is the VP of Finance for Clear Fork Midstream. And I'll let her kind of dig into what does that mean, what does that entail, and how she got to be working within the finance industry.
Yeah, perfect. Well, so right now, I guess I can start with my consulting experience. So
yeah.
Right out of college, I started working for FTI Consulting. I was excited about that opportunity. I had looked at some investment banking opportunities, but I was excited about FTI because it was a generalist, and I was going to travel a lot. And so I thought, what better to do after college than get to see a bunch of different states, live in a bunch of different places, meet a lot of different people, and also try out a bunch of different industries before I kind of decide what I really like. So from there, you know, I'm from Houston, which is where we are right now. And I had thought, I don't want to pigeonhole myself right out of college into energy, because that's where, you know, a lot of recruiters come to us with energy opportunities, and I wanted to do something different.
Big here.
It is. And so I took this opportunity with FTI, and what I found was that I really liked the energy clients that I had, and the energy, I did like a weekly energy update just for the firm, and I really liked that. But I kind of wanted to come to it myself, you know? So I did have a couple, like I had a banking client, I had a retail client, and I also had a restaurant and hospitality client. So it was really interesting, but I really liked energy. So with all the travel, as fun as it was, I think I was gold status or silver status at SPG.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
And then, you know, had status with all the airlines. I had my favorite airlines. I mean, I knew how to travel after a year of doing it. I think I spent like 11 days at home or something. So it was really fun, but it was also just something I was ready to take a break from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand that.
So I knew that I liked energy, and I took a job, you know, Houston at the time, it was $120 a barrel for oil. So I actually just went ahead and told my team that I was going to go ahead and look for another opportunity, because it was actually really hard to interview when I was traveling all the time.
Okay.
Companies wanted to see, meet me in person.
Yep.
And I would say, well, I can do it on Saturday.
Right.
But I mean, at that point I was traveling Sunday night through Friday evening.
Whoa.
It was a lot.
That's a lot.
And so I
ended Where are you up, traveling?
Then the last client, I was traveling to Kansas City.
Okay.
Which was really fun.
Yeah, Kansas City's fun.
It was fun.
Power and Light District and
Mm-hmm. It was really fun. Before that, New York.
Yep.
And that was great. I really enjoyed that. So I'm trying to think where else. And then Dallas.
Yeah.
Which is where my company is based now. So I ended up going ahead and telling my team I was just gonna put in my 2 weeks and look for something more full-time.
Okay.
I mean, just a permanent role. And they said, don't do that. They were so nice. They said, don't do that. That's silly. And one guy on another team, actually another partner, was so nice. And he said, you shouldn't do this. He was like, you're crazy. I'm going to put you in contact with somebody that I know who works in Houston, who has a company, you know, he's working at a company in Houston. They're looking for a finance analyst. And why don't you meet with them before you leave here.
Okay.
And I actually ended up accepting that opportunity.
Wow. So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, and that's an interesting thing from a consulting perspective is I tend to find consulting firms are really open to the idea of exits to industry because
yes.
it then opens up a door for mm-hmm. future client work.
Very
now
much.
We've got somebody who knows our firm and they're able to bring work to us in the mm-hmm. future. So consulting firms oftentimes are open to that. It's interesting yeah. though, whereas I work for a firm, my first company I worked for, they were completely against the idea of you going into industry and you had to serve out a whole long non-compete, which is super interesting with the new FTC ruling of no non-competes.
Oh, yeah,
that's going to be really interesting to see how that kind of changes that dynamic. But mm-hmm. okay, so you exited to industry, and mm-hmm. when you were working in consulting, you're working with different industries, different clients, but was it all within the finance realm, or were you kind of having a difference of focuses?
I did have a difference of focus. So the group that I worked for did focus on restructuring.
Okay.
That's what FTI was known for. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will say sometimes, I mean, you can mention another firm, right? Okay, so a lot of people would say like, oh, we know Alvarez & Marsal for bankruptcy mm-hmm. or restructuring.
Yep.
FTI was known for being so Alvarez represented the creditor most of the time, and FTI was known for representing the debtor, I'm sorry. Alvarez would represent the debtor. Mm-hmm. FTI was known for representing the creditors.
Yep.
And so they weren't as in the, not necessarily at the client. Sometimes mm-hmm. we would be at the office, but we were able to take on that work with all of the, you know, Fortune 500 companies. So I did have some roles that were bankruptcy restructuring. Mm-hmm. Those were very interesting. Actually, when I was in New York, it was the largest bankruptcy at the time, and it was a very interesting role. But also there were process improvement consulting jobs, and I did spend a lot of time on those.
Yeah, the PI, fun.
Yeah, and one of them was even just a contract briefing, like a defense contractor, and that was pretty cool too.
Ooh, neat, okay, yeah. Fun. So then what was it like transitioning into industry and really focusing on one organization and how you move it forward?
Well, I did transition pretty early in my career. Mm-hmm. I had only worked in consulting for about a year and a half, and then I went into the industry role. And I think it wasn't until later in my career that I realized the value that the consulting experience gave me.
Sure.
Because I was still pretty early on, and so the more involved that I got, so for example, when I was working for a CFO of a company that we did IPO with over multi-billion dollar IPO, in that case, I had gotten to see a lot more. So in our negotiations with our lenders and all sorts of things, I could see how all of the work that we did, like how it really ended up. So it could end up in a restructuring and why it was important to look at debt covenants, for example. You know, how every page of a PSA or every page of an M&A document, whatever it may be, was important because you could end up in a situation where you're going through a restructuring. So I started to see some of those things play out. In my consulting experience, it was at the end of it, I started to see like why we were doing what we did in consulting.
Oh, okay, interesting. That then change your approach when you were working in industry, now that you were kind of upstream from the restructuring outcomes? How did you change your perspective or your approach as a result of that?
Well, I would say, funny enough, after I left that job, the one that I was talking about where I reported to the CFO and we did the IPO, and that was mm-hmm. just a really big milestone for me. And had, you know, I got to see my face on Times Square and ring the bell. And that was huge.
That's
so
amazing.
Got to check that
cheers,
box.
Cheers to that.
Thank you.
Cheers to that. That's a major milestone.
Yes. So I would say after that, I thought, you know, I'm ready for something new. This company was moving in a different direction. They were getting a lot bigger. I felt like I had accomplished what I wanted to there. And I thought, you know, I would love to go back into consulting because now I have the experience from industry.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could talk to different team members and different finance and accounting folks, like everybody. I'd be able to talk to them and understand what their day-to-day is.
Right, because so you've now done it.
Yes, yeah, so now I could provide a better, maybe a more informed perspective, I thought.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I did go into consulting and I only lasted 4 weeks at a firm at that time because a couple reasons. I think that the quality of the consulting firm that you join is really important.
Of course.
I didn't see the same
culture.
Level
culture
in
is
culture.
Super critical.
I didn't see the same level of expertise at that firm that I had at another firm. And I really enjoyed one of the clients that I was working with. Mm-hmm. I think we related so much that the VP of finance there offered me a job.
Okay. So it was actually a really excellent stepping stone
to
the next opportunity, which, mm-hmm. I mean, that actually is still a good thing for that consultancy to
have had
you in that role because it just opened up a whole nother door.
And that was their perspective. They thought it was great. They thought, actually, one thing they'll say, they thought, wow, sometimes we see a lot of jobs open up for accounting team members, but in this case, they were happy to see more of a finance role open up for someone on their team.
Right.
And they were excited to keep that relationship going. Yeah. And I actually still do talk to that partner at that firm.
Awesome, yeah. So it's really neat to see how those stepping stones lead us to different directions. Okay, so then how did that role transpire and what came from it?
That was a great role. I was there for 3 years.
Okay.
Which these days, that's actually a long time.
That's a long time.
Yeah,
it's a long time. Yeah, it is.
Yes. So I was there for 3 years, and everything was good. We did still continue to retain that firm. After a while, I wanted more. So I did actually meet with a business coach just to see what I could do to progress my career. Just because things were stabilizing a little bit where mm-hmm. I was. And so through that, I got to take a kind of a personality test assessment, validated some of the things that I thought maybe why I wasn't happy in my current role and I needed, you know, a little bit more. So some of the things I learned was I'm very direct, whereas most people are not direct. So I learned how maybe I could better communicate with some of my team members. Maybe I could fluff things up a little bit. And so just engaging a little bit more with people in all departments would be helpful for me. So communication skills, I learned some of those. I mean, I was trying to learn how could I get to that leadership level? You know, how can I be a leader? I think leaders are not necessarily just the people that know how to do everything that they're doing or really sharp at accounting or finance or whatever it is, but also people.
Right.
So I thought, I need it. Let me see what I can do to get to that next level. So I met with this business coach. He validated some of the things about why I wasn't happy. I also really like to have a dynamic environment.
Sure.
And some
when it's
people,
too calm, that gets a little...
Right. And some people are not necessarily comfortable with that. And so learning about yourself, I thought, was really helpful for me with my career.
Oh, definitely.
I learned a little bit more about that. And I was ready to start my own company, to be honest. I wanted to start my own company. That's why I met with him. He's a business coach for people who are entrepreneurs. But through this exercise, we kind of went through, like, what am I good at? What would be... something that would highlight my skill set as well as what I'm good at. Mm-hmm. Kind of did like a Venn diagram.
Yeah.
And I learned that I actually could find some of the things that I'm looking for within companies.
Sure.
But what I might need to do is change the office environment.
Okay.
So for me, I'm a remote employee. And that's nice for me because I can work from a coffee shop. I can work from the office if I want to. Mm-hmm. I can work from my house if I want to. Get laundry done at the same time. But that keeps my energy.
Yeah. Okay.
So I ended up finding actually two jobs at the same time. I mean, this business coach was so helpful to me that I got two job offers on the same day.
That's a good day.
It was a great day. And I loved both of the positions. And they were both remote, and they both seemed to be offering me what I was looking for. But I identified most with the company that was an energy company.
Okay.
And that's what I was used to, and that's what I keep coming back to.
Yeah.
And also, the CEO, circling back to consulting, the CEO of this company was somebody that I worked for at my very first consulting firm right out of college.
Wow. Yes. Okay. So that right there is such a great lesson of mm-hmm. the relationships you build early on can yes. really serve you so well long term. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that it's easy to not have that foresight when you're coming out of undergrad and you're not thinking, oh, these relationships are going to matter. You kind of... sometimes even burning through them potentially.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And you watch people burn bridges. Yep. And people talk about how the bridges you burn will light the way. Mm. I very much disagree with that because unless it's critical and it's maybe a toxic relationship, maintaining relations with the people that you interact with can really come back and serve you well.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll say even take this opportunity to let you know, even my current, the person I report to right now, we've now brought in another person from that same firm. And that's very helpful.
Right.
So it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, I know people, you get frustrated sometimes when you leave a company and you want to just not put your full 2 weeks or start showing an attitude or something if you're frustrated at the end. But it's such a small world. At the end mm-hmm. of the day, you're going to most likely come in contact with somebody again. And even if you don't, like, it's just not the...
Is that how you want people to think of you, right? When they have you in their mind as a memory, you want it to be a positive
exactly.
one.
Exactly. I mean, even on LinkedIn, like if they're going to probably still be your LinkedIn connection, if you're posting things, you don't want to, bring that negative energy to someone's day.
Right. Definitely. Okay. So then what are you doing now? And how is it functioning?
So right now, VP of Finance at Clear Fork Midstream. It's going really well. I mean, I have now the fortunate, experience of so many different roles. I loved consulting because it's kind of a fast track. Like, you get to see
a lot of
the
things.
Process improvement, the restructuring. I did transaction advisory for a while. And now within the industry role, I'm seeing a lot of how it all plays out, like I mentioned before. But I'm able to bring a lot of skills to the table and a lot of background, a lot of knowledge. So if someone's asking me a treasury question, I know because I've done
a
13-week for a client before. If they're asking me a question is relating to SEC reporting, I know because I've had a client like that before. So having like that in-depth experience with a bunch of different roles has really put me in a good place with my current company right now. I mean, my challenges are not related to technical skills or knowledge.
Okay, so your current role, what are you doing right now? What are you enjoying?
So as a VP of Finance, I'm really enjoying just being able to demonstrate and lead based on the experience that I have. So I just had one example earlier this week where I took the time to, instead of doing something myself, share with my team some of the things that could be better, and teach them things, like teach them different Excel tricks. Like,
you're amazing at Excel.
You know, it's just a small thing, but I don't want to leave a legacy of just, oh, I told someone what to do or anything like that. Like, I would love if they could say, oh my gosh, I learned so much from this person. I now am faster at my job. I can do all this cool Excel stuff. I want to make it fun, mm-hmm. you know? And so I enjoy doing that.
Like, you remember the people you've worked for that mm-hmm. you've enjoyed working with yes. and learning from. So mm-hmm. it's fun to...
Oh my gosh, I definitely do. I definitely remember some. I mean, there are so many tricks that I learned, and I remember who taught me, you know, and when, and I should call them and just tell them how much time they saved me. And so, you know, we could just teach fast, and we could just say, okay, let's just do it this way. But I love having the opportunity to teach. I mean, I think in another life, I would have loved to be a teacher. And so I love to use that experience in my current role and to be at the level now where I feel like I can teach some things to people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when are you going to do that? You still can. When do we all get to benefit from your savvy with finance and Excel?
We'll see. I have some ideas. maybe you can help me out with them. I have some ideas, like maybe an Excel kind of cheat sheet. I know we're all kind of moving towards like data, machine learning, Python, that kind of stuff. But I still think your day-to-day, we're not going to completely turn away from Excel for a while,
right.
in my opinion.
Right.
It's just a great skill to have.
The workhorse.
I mean, it is. And even if you're just managing your own personal finances or your own personal calendar, I mean, so many times I just want to get my Excel spreadsheet out and get it done pretty fast.
Yep.
So we'll see. Hopefully soon.
Okay. That's exciting. All right. So any advice you have for others who are following maybe a similar path with a background in accounting and finance and not sure where they want to take it?
That is a great question. I would say, you know, learn as much as you can where you are. Don't think that you're, you know, wasting your time or anything if you might be doing something in a consulting role that isn't maybe your favorite. Maybe you liked another project better than another. You're going to learn something from every project that yep. you're in. And at the end of the day, like, it really all does relate. I mean, even if it's an HR role, I mean, it's all interconnected, especially everything within accounting and finance. And if you are in a, you know, in a role where you're learning something, like I was saying, that you may not like, or you may not be as interested in, it will be so fun later on if you do join an industry role to be able to speak to somebody who maybe that's their full-time position and understand where they're coming from. And then as far as just looking for, you know, where you fit, pay attention to what excites you. Like, what companies are you enjoying? What clients are you enjoying? Or even just what type of work are you enjoying? I think that's some good advice. And then also, as far as traveling, you know, I got pretty tired of it when I was doing it. But now,
travels.
It is. But now, you know, I have two little ones at home, and traveling is a little harder than it used to be. You know, even when I'm just going within Texas somewhere, I try to get back by nighttime just to put the kids to bed. And I think I should have taken advantage of those opportunities where I got to go, you know, over the weekend, like go see a new city and enjoy dinner in a new spot and those things. So I think just, you know, live in the moment and enjoy where you are and learn as much as you can where you are, because you never know where it's going to get you.
Okay, so then when you're hiring for your team, you know, you've given good advice for people coming into the industry. What do you look for specifically? What's going to set someone apart?
Well, what's going to set someone apart for me is their interest in the position and just if they're kind of a self-starter and they're willing to learn. Those are really going to set them apart, honestly, just those
okay.
three things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting. I mean, there's so many quantitative and qualitative questions that you can ask of candidates when you're going through the interview process. But what people really underestimate, but that totally sets people apart, is their energy.
Oh, 100%.
How people show up. I mean, you can 100%. Hear it even on the phone. Mm-hmm. I mean,
oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't even have to meet in person.
No. Well, and the whole transition over the last few years to using video conversations and video conferencing, I actually get almost more distracted by that because I don't want to see a video of somebody necessarily when I'm trying to interview them because mm-hmm. I'll be distracted by that. I just want to hear their voice. I mm-hmm. want to hear how they show up. I want to hear how they present themselves. And then from there, I can make a decision. I don't need to know anything about their, especially if they're going to be a remote person. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how much people can convey their energy mm-hmm. just through their voice and how they show up and the questions they ask and how engaged they are. So it's fun to see that in new candidates.
I do remember reading, I don't know if you've read Blink by Michael Lewis.
No, I've read one, I think I've read something else in that vein, but no,
so many.
I haven't read that one.
So that one is, I've only read a fourth of it, honestly, because I feel like I got the point after the first part of the book, but it's mostly just about how, they even use an interview as an example.
Okay.
And how just within, I think the first 30 seconds or something like that, within a minute, you know the decision that you're going to make. And they talk about interviews. And I think it's funny, everything you're saying, you know, usually after a phone screen, you bring in a few people, but even after the phone screens, I kind of know already who is going to be a good fit.
Who's rising to the top. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Who's showing up, who's presenting themselves well, who you resonate with. And that, I think it really does go to that excitement. Mm-hmm. And that's not always fair. That doesn't always mean that person's the most qualified, that's it's true. The person that's going to
stand out
and also show up potentially in office interactions mm-hmm. and be excited and carry that excitement forward. Again, hiring is not 100% process, but if you as a candidate are looking at how you can get ahead of those that you're competing against that may have very similar skills, having that excitement and that enthusiasm does 100%. Go a long way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned two little ones. That's been a big transition over the last few years, bringing them into the world.
Yes.
And working throughout it. Oh my gosh, you're impressive. Okay, so how do you balance that? How do you make that work? And what advice do you have for others?
Well, it has been a learning process. I'll say, you know, when they were really young or I just had one, was different than how it is today. Now I have two, one is 3.5 and...
Precocious.
Very, yes. She's such a little character. The other one's 18 months. And so even just juggling the two is really different. I would say, you know, I've paid attention to a lot of mentors. So I'm on LinkedIn a lot and...
that's my preferred social media.
I mean,
channel.
Yeah, it's like it's definitely an addiction that I have now. You know, if I'm not on Instagram, I'm on LinkedIn. There's a lot on there.
There's a lot on there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's refresh it. You know,
we're going to be on there now.
Exactly. We're going to be on there now, which is going to make it even more exciting. But no, I think, so the other day I saw something from a Bulge Bracket CEO, and she was a woman, and she was saying, you know, someone asked her, how do you do it all? And I noticed that she was a parent too, and I clicked to watch the whole interview. So I was like, how does she do it all? Because I know my role, it feels very important. It feels like I have a lot to do all the time, but I can't imagine being the CEO of, you know, a Bulge Bracket Bank. Like, how can she possibly manage it all? What does she say?
Help. Outsourcing, exactly. I have to think.
Yes, she did. Definitely outsourcing, definitely having a really good team was important. But she also said, you can do it all, but you can't do it all at once.
Same time, yeah. Well, I think that's fair regardless of what you're doing in life. That was advice I got at one point, and it was, we get what we want, but rarely all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
it's, when it's you accept
exactly
that, of like,
same
a, yeah, it just,
sentiment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it, being comfortable with that and being at peace with that, of there will be times when it's crazy and chaotic and times when it is calm and still, and typically when it's calm and still, it's when we want it to be busy, and
exactly
when it's busy, we want it to be calm. And
I know it kind of all comes at once, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we all went through COVID, right? And we all went through a calm time. I sometimes kind of wish we had, you know, every few years everyone just has a period of we're all going to stay at home and we're gonna indulge in our hobbies for 1 year.
Yeah.
That would be nice, but but that's not the way it is. And I would never wish for that situation again. But, you know, like, there's certain things I really want to sew. And I always thought, when I was a mother, I'm going to sew things for my children. And now I'm thinking, you know what, maybe I'll do that as a grandmother.
Yeah.
Because I just don't have the time to do it now.
Embroidery and, yeah, we're just going to sit.
But I mean, it's the height of my career. And to give up now or to put it, you know, on the back burner now wouldn't make sense.
No.
Wouldn't make sense for me at all. And I think it's really good for my daughters to see that too. I mean, when I'm sending off my youngest one to school in the morning, of course, I would love to just stay and spend the day with her, and she would love to just spend the day with mommy all day, but like, I think it's so great for her to go to school. I see how much fun she's having. It's so great for me to work, and it's so great for us both to see each other. It's very healthy for us to see each other enjoying our own independent things, and mm-hmm. then...
And what you're good at.
Exactly. So it's a very healthy thing, and I think it's great for us. So I have found that to be most effective in my role, and I just tested this theory the other day, earlier this week, but to be most effective, and I've noticed a lot of other parents do this too, just really having that cutoff time. So right around 5, I'm gonna log off, try to finish up all my meetings by then, and then spend some time, like, you know, a lot of us have to pick up our kids, even if someone is taking them home, they're already at the house, but spending that time with them. So have dinner with them, talk to them about their day, give them a bath, put them to bed, and do that all in a manner that doesn't feel rushed. Like, even if I know that I have to pick up my computer later, I don't want to rush them, and I need to be present at that time in the day.
So time blocking, mm-hmm. really effectively.
Definitely. I mean, there are times where I thought, okay, well, let me just have that call from 5 to 6, and that wasn't good for anybody. So just having that boundary, and then picking back up later if I need to. And then another thing that I've really benefited from is trying so hard to work smarter and not harder.
Okay.
So because I really, really don't, you know, I don't know if I'm going to have that time at night. I don't know if the baby's going to cry. I mean, I have been in a situation where it was 5 a.m., I was on a call, and I was holding my baby in my hand at the same time as I was working in Excel, and that was tough. I don't think that that's healthy, and so I look for situations where I can just do really, really be so effective during the workday, and and that's great. It's a great challenge for me. I think before, when I didn't have that other responsibilities, I would think, oh, it's okay, I'll do it later, but now I'm really challenged to try to get it all done as much as possible, and it really teaches me to utilize the team, cooperate with everyone, see what best, you know, most efficient things we can do, see what everyone else is doing. Maybe there's something we can leverage within another team. And so being able to just really try to work smarter, not harder, this is something actually that one of my team members said, and I've really hung on to that, and that's been helpful in helping me balance and be effective in both my career and then as a mother.
That's amazing. Okay, so then what are you most looking forward to?
In your career
and in life?
Well, I'm looking forward to just kind of continuing to progress in my career. And, like, you know, the more the years go on and the more experience that I have, the more fun the roles really get. So I'm looking forward to that. And then possibly maybe doing something of my own one day.
Okay, so now, I mean, you've really gotten to see the gamut of jobs, roles, experiences, and a variety of different companies and environments. What are you most looking forward to?
So right now I'm looking forward to, and I'm keeping my eyes set on just that next level in my career. I'm excited that I now have a lot of experience behind me. And I remember being, you know, right out of college and seeing, you know, the CFO or partners or MDs at different firms. And now I'm seeing some of my friends become, you know, go into those roles. And I'm just really looking forward to that opportunity to just kind of benefit from all the experience that I have. And even if it's a possible entrepreneurship opportunity, I'm just really looking forward to that next step in leadership.
Okay. What gets you the most excited? What problems in work?
I think it's just the teaching. Like, I love the opportunity to teach. I love the opportunity to create something that is like a template, something that anytime I've left a company, I've enjoyed that they, you know, I'm not there anymore, but the things that I've built are still there. So process, whether it's a spreadsheet or just an entire process, that is what I love to do. And problem solving, I would say. Actually, I love that. And I love if something, you know, isn't tying out or isn't matching or somebody wants to get something faster, I love the opportunity to find a solution.
Okay. Favorite client experience? Or work experience?
Oh gosh, I probably have a couple of those. It's really between, I mean, it's gonna be my consulting experience, believe it or not.
Great.
I love the work that I do in industry because I love to be able to see it just play out mm-hmm. for a really long time. You know, yep. so consulting, sometimes you leave and you don't get to see what you do.
Sure.
I love being able to see it and continue to teach it. But my favorite experiences were probably just those travel opportunities. I love okay. being in New York. I loved all the things that I learned.
I remember visiting you in New York.
I loved that you did visit yeah. me in
New York. Yeah, that was even pre like work. That was an internship,
it
right?
It was, yes. Yeah. Yes, that was super fun. That was with Big Four.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That was great. So that was just really fun, just getting to be in New York. I love New York. And then also, I really liked being at this experience in D.C. So maybe it's location-based, but
okay.
That was a really fun one because I was with a really big team from different states, mm-hmm. and we would all go to dinner together every night, and we always found a really fun new restaurant, and then just like everything that we were doing was really interesting. I mean, we learned a bunch of really interesting stuff. This was a defense contractor. Mm-hmm. I think that was one of my favorite roles yeah. as well.
Well, anytime you're getting to collaborate with others and you're learning mm-hmm. from them and you're getting mm-hmm. to kind of expand your horizons, mm-hmm. that's engaging.
It really was. And I think
it might be hard, but it's
it was hard.
You
yeah.
know you're being pushed in a way that is really positive.
Yes. And I think it was nice kind of a little bit just to kind of mix the social a little bit with
sure.
work.
You Absolutely.
Know? I mean, I think it's really been helpful. I've noticed for me, if my supervisor just takes a few minutes to just say, how's your day or how was your weekend? That is huge for me.
Okay.
It is huge. I mean, I have worked for supervisors that never ask. And the ones that do, I just feel so much more connected to. I feel, you know, more appreciated as a person. And then I do feel like I do better work.
Yeah.
Because I'm excited. I like got that off my mind. And now you got to know a little bit about what they're doing. And we see each other, you know, on a human level. And then we can talk about work, and it just kind of flows immediately into that. It just kind of gets...
makes more fun.
It's like a warm-up, you yeah. know? We've warmed yeah. up the conversation, we're ready to, you know, we've talked, and now we can jump right into what it is that we're working on.
Right.
So, I love
okay,
that.
Okay, so on the flip side then, mm-hmm. toughest work experience.
Ooh, this is another good question. I think for me, what I've noticed, like a pattern of what's been tough for me, is when I know that I'm capable of something and I am not really able to somehow communicate or demonstrate that. So I see maybe somebody else it takes up that opportunity and I knew that it was something that I could have done, then I feel a little frustrated with myself that I wasn't able to be that person. Like okay. I want to do more and I want to be more helpful. And so what's even more tough is when I see somebody step into that opportunity and maybe aren't able to produce as much as I maybe I had some really great ideas. So for me, that's what's tough, is just making sure that I'm, you know, in the right room at the right time and able to communicate what it is that I think could be helpful to our team or to the company.
Okay. Well, and that's something that I think even as females is mm-hmm. natural. We don't always speak up for right. ourselves or right. put ourselves in the right room or even have the opportunity to be in the room mm-hmm. when those conversations are happening. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, as you're talking about being direct, that's such a critical skill to actually mm-hmm. be direct and to
it
be
is,
very
yeah.
confident in your abilities mm-hmm. and to speak up for the opportunities that you want mm-hmm. when you want them, when you know you're able to do them. I mean, there are so many posts that you will see around social media saying, you know, there's people out there doing more than you're doing with less that don't have the experience mm-hmm. or the exposure because they're just willing to go do it. And I think that's,
yeah,
you know, that's a good thing mm-hmm. to keep in mind of, okay, how are people getting these opportunities other than they're asking for them? Okay, so any further advice or thoughts you want listeners to benefit from?
That's a great question, Kelsey. I know that if I were just a viewer, like what I would be looking for is, you know, like I said, I already am looking on LinkedIn. If I see a mom with some advice that's working, I would love to hear what they have to say. So I think, you know, just with my 3.5 years of experience as a working mom, there's something that I think would be some motivation that I think would be important and what's helped me is just, you know, continuing to be grateful for what I have, grateful for the opportunity to work and make my own income. I mean, even just as a daughter, like in college, I personally did not enjoy having to call my dad and say, hey, can I have more money to go to dinner? Can I have more money to buy clothes? You know, I love to be able to contribute.
Have your own.
Yeah, I love to be able to contribute for my kids on my own. I love the I love that it feels like it puts me on equal ground with my husband. We're both contributing to the family, and I know that, you know, it gives me some purpose too. I mean, already I have just purpose on, you know, helping out companies and just doing good for the world.
Right.
But I love that I also can provide for my family at the same time. So
it's a very empowering thing.
It is. It feels really good. And there are days that it's really hard. I mean, I'll get on, you know, Instagram just to see like a funny meme, you know, about a mom in the same situation as me. I love to be relatable. I love to find that there's other people in that situation. It's not just me. There are times it feels like, oh my gosh, everyone just dropped off their kids at school and now they're taking a nap and I'm going to work or something like that. But it feels really good when I just remember how grateful I am to have this opportunity and the continued growth that I'm going to have in my career and all that I'm going to get to learn and all that I'm going to get to contribute to, you know, mankind and everyone that, you know, energy. Like, energy is something that it's not just a job, but this is something that we all
benefit from.
We all benefit from it. I mean, when you get in your car, you're benefiting from it. And
well, and also how you get to show up in the world with those that you interact with every day. I think that's something that people don't give enough credibility or credit to, is we affect everyone we interact with, whether it be in the grocery store or in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
How we show up and how we present ourselves and how we engage makes a difference. And so by fulfilling the things that you need, want, and care about, how does that transform and change how you show up in the world? Do you
Absolutely.
Get to be less resentful? Do you get to be more gracious and have Yep. more gratitude, right? Like, does that change your perspective and how you engage?
Oh yeah, 100%. Even just being able to show my daughter, I know we mentioned this before, but show her that, you know, this is what mommy chose to be when she grows up. Like, I'm gonna be encouraging her to find what her passion is, and I would love to be that example for her too.
Absolutely.
So,
when I think it's, in a world that we grew up in, which was Barbies and dream houses
yes.
and a white knight somewhere
Barbies,
you know, shining,
yes.
that was going to come rescue us from whatever life that we were living. And mm-hmm. then, you know, the reality of mm-hmm. the world is maybe not always that.
Yes.
Realizing that we're more skilled than mm-hmm. we maybe grew up thinking
oh, yeah.
that we were.
Mm-hmm. And the lesson starts now. I mean, she gets home from school. She does play with her Barbies and her princess dress and everything, and I love that, but I love being able to say, you know, it's good to say, oh, well, mommy has to work for a little bit, and I'll talk with you later, and then she's curious, well, what do you do, mommy? And sometimes mm-hmm. I mean, being fortunate enough to work from home, she gets to say hi, you know, on FaceTime or on Teams, and meet the different people that I work with, and then see what I do, and it's even cute when she plays mommy, and she gets her little computer, and she works in her office. I mean, it's great. I do love to be able to have that example for them.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. Favorite book you're reading right now?
Oh, gosh.
With all of
do
your
I have
extra
time?
Free time?
Do I have time? I will say, I went to Barnes & Noble the other day, and I think I bought like 5 to 7 books.
I know you love books.
I love books. I love them so much.
Like physical books.
I love the idea of a book. I love to go into a bookstore. I mean, that is my favorite, to my lowest parts of life. If I just wanted to just go into a place and just pass time and go into a different world, I would go into a bookstore because it's just so inspiring to me. So Barnes & Noble near me was closing and renovating for a few months. I know, and I really missed it. I didn't realize how much I missed it. Anyway, so they were having a great sale, and I got a bunch of books the other day, and they were all on all sorts of topics. So one of them, actually, you would really appreciate this, being a consultant's closet, was about, actually two of the books were about style.
Ooh,
and defining your style.
Okay, fun.
And one of them was like, how do you identify with different celebrity styles? And then another one was just like about old fashioned, like good clothing tips.
Okay.
So like good, what types of fabrics yep. are best for different occasions and things like that. And then there was another book that was about, you know, Secretary of Treasury. It was
very different topic.
Right? But it was,
yes,
and it was kind of a biography, and I thought that seemed really interesting.
Yep.
And I actually bought another one that was also a government related book, and that was a different side of policy.
Okay.
So I thought it'd be really interesting to read about both of them. And then there was one more book that I got, and again, I want to read all of these, but I read a little bit in the bookstore, was just about technology and
Ooh,
like how
okay.
we've kind of come with like data transformation. digital transformation.
Interesting. Yes. Okay. Okay.
Those are all
a whole kind of compilation of subject matter and interests.
Oh, there was one more book, I must say. I bought one more book, and I have actually opened this one. And it was just a mom's cookbook. So, I mean, I will say at the end of the day, when you're tired from working and your kids are tired from school, trying to get them to eat something healthy is not another challenge that I want to face. So I got this amazing cookbook on just some super simple recipes that they will eat. And so I've opened up that one.
Perfect. Amazing.
Yes.
Okay. So with that, any final thoughts, considerations, or advice you want to share with anyone listening today?
Well, I just want to say thank you, Kelsey, for having me on this podcast. It's been really fun.
Of course. Thank you for joining.
Yes. And hopefully it will be helpful to some, you know, consultants or industry or any, you know, corporate professional out there. I know that it will be. And I'm so glad that you're doing this for everybody and providing, you know, platform for me to be able to speak about some of the things that I've learned. And, continue to be excited about different things. I love to hear your advice always, too. I mean, of course, as a good friend, I'll talk to you about anything, but I even love to call you about, you know, work things. And so I'm just really happy for our friendship, and I'm really excited for this opportunity and
hope I didn't pay for this.
Yeah, she didn't, I promise. But cheers.
Cheers.
To happy hour.
Cheers to happy hour.
It's another great thing about working. Mm-hmm. So thanks again.
Awesome. Well, thanks y'all for tuning in and listening to today's episode of the Consultants Council. It's always fun to get to talk with others who are working and figuring out their careers and their investments and the work that they do. It is especially rewarding when you also get to do that with a dear friend. So with that, cheers and have a great day.
And that's a wrap on this episode of the Consultants Council. Thank you so much for your interest and engagement. Let us know what you'd like to learn more about by writing into info@theconsultantscouncil.com. Thanks to Kelsey Consulting for sponsoring this podcast and to Class Act Media for the media support. And with that, cheers and all my best. Have a great week. And remember, what's possible? Do more.